Don't you give up, don't you let away. Talking about a forever after. Don't you give up, don't you dare give in.
I hope you're not giving up or giving in today. When you're joining us, Deborah Orell and Jack Tuckner, the women's rights in the workplace activists, here with you to empower you and talk about what you need to know to navigate your workplace in the most optimal way and know your rights. How are you, Deborah?
I am fantastic, and that is an excellent description of what we do.
Isn't it?
Truly.
Well, that's what we're going to do today, isn't it? We're going to talk about...
Yes.
Frequently asked questions that we get over and over and over again from those who toil in workplaces that find themselves with challenges which have gotten more, probably more complicated and difficult over the last several decades as our laws have shifted towards an employer orientation. Literally since 1980 to today, we've become far more corporatized, right? More conservative, much mm-hmm. more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though we have occasionally a new nuance or a new law or a new statute that actually is a workers' rights statute, the tone, the environment, the judiciary, the court system is very employer friendly.
Yes.
Right? And that,
and what's really surprising, and I've said before, what I spend much of my day doing is explaining what the laws or where there are essentially no employee protections other than civil rights protections, because people will constantly call and say, you know, this happened, no notice, I was terminated,
right.
No notice, nothing.
Right.
They have no idea that that's...
Or just that, again, the person I consulted with today, my boss, the employer, they're difficult, he's not a nice guy, I complain, he's mm-hmm. riding me like a bronco bull.
Right.
Okay, well, most of the time, that's completely legal. And so we'll repeat repetition being the mother of skill. We'll give you on this show, and you'll hear it over and over again, enough to empower you and give you an idea, and if there's anyone in your life who's dealing with these types of situations, perhaps what is or what isn't a real workplace problem, and you could then seek professional help. Speaking about professional help, I want to mention now, first of all, if any of our listeners wish to call in today and ask us a question, any question, we're happy to entertain it, put you on the air. The call-in number is area code 888-874-4888. Again, 888-874-4888, and you'd be calling Jack Tuckner and Deborah O'Reilly, women's rights in the workplace advocates. We do have next week, very exciting show, we will have with us David Yamada. David Yamada, and if you wanted to check out his work now, it is, what is the name of that?
Minding the Workplace
blog.
Yeah.
He is the bullying maven. David Yamada is a tenured professor of law and the director of the New Workplace Institute at Suffolk University Law School in Boston. He's an internationally recognized authority on the legal aspects of workplace bullying, and he's the author of Model Anti-Bullying Legislation. Dubbed the Healthy Workplace Bill, David's bill has become the template for law reform efforts across the country. In addition to teaching at this law school, he holds numerous leadership positions in nonprofit and public advocacy organizations. So we're very excited to have him here because, right, as I know it's a sort of a pet issue of yours, Deborah, right?
Completely.
This whole bullying.
Right.
And, you know, I never even as a women's rights in the workplace lawyer all these years, I've had enough to do dealing with actually defined challenges of women's devaluation in the workplace, equal pay issues, sexual harassment, pregnancy discrimination, a perennial favorite. And I never really didn't really think much lately of sort of the notion of bullying per se, because there are no laws.
Yeah, and that's where people get screwed. Employees are essentially screwed. They have hostile employers, a hostile manager who, again, we're not saying that it's not legal what they're doing, but they torture people, that there should be a law. I mean, if someone were knocking on your door and running away, or they were calling you constantly, or they were harassing you or doing something to your body or your property, there would be police. There are protections in place. But in the workplace, you can have a manager who says, and I say the line from A Princess Bride, Wesley, good day. I don't think I'll kill you today. Maybe tomorrow. You can have a manager speak to you the exact same way, and I hear these stories every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen with all my heart to try and hear, is there some discrimination? I explain, you know, unless they're targeting you for a civil rights.
It's legal.
It's
bullying
legal.
Is legal. Right. Well, I mean, I still say it's important when someone says, you know, my boss is a bully. And again, I'm not, you know, the word, what's a bully? So if a bully is someone who uses his or her authority, right? What is the typical playground bully is someone who sort of trolls the playground, who's bigger and older and picks on the smaller, weaker person, right?
Right.
For just the way like Chris Christie likes to do, right?
Sort
of obvious kind of a bully mentality,
right?
That I'm bigger than you, I'll kick your butt. And usually bullies are the first that cave and cry and fall to their knees when somebody actually stands up to them.
Right.
So there's that kind of cowardice almost inherent in the notion of, you know, because I have it over you to lord over you, I'm going to take advantage of you. So by definition, in a workplace, your supervisor, even just your supervisor right above you, who could be nobody in the vast scheme of things, thinks to his or herself, hey, but I'm more important than you and I outrank you.
Right.
So I can order you around, which they can.
And it could be a coworker as well.
Right, but if the coworker or even the supervisor is bullying you and
exactly.
sort of bossing you around, first of all, here's what the law says, or what the employer would say: it ain't bullying if your boss is doing it. It's simply, it's an order, and if it's too hot in your little kitchen because of this boss, get out of it if you can't stand the heat, or figure something else out. But it's our kitchen, and we're telling you what to do. The one important point, as you know, but we'll just repeat to our listeners because it's a very important distinction, is the bullying, the hostility, the anger, the overlording, the kind of, you know, that the sadism, whatever you call it, is it at workplace happening to you because of something about you that happens to be something you can say, this is illegal because it's discriminatory?
Okay, but if there isn't.
Right. But if there isn't, then it's hard to say. I think part of the problem will be, and I can't wait to talk to David about this, part of the problem is if you are, just to pick, you know, a 35-year-old Caucasian male,
yes.
with male privilege, white privilege, youthful privilege, you're 6'2", and you happen to be working for someone who, for whatever reason, maybe in their last life, you know, they had it in for you, or you killed their great, 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 great grandfather in one of those, you know, Hatfield and McCoy battles, and now they're gunning for you. All you know is your boss is a jerk. He's an asshole. He's a bully, and he's picking on you. And when you go to HR and you say, he's picking on me, that's not right. It's not nice. Well, and they say,
and because there are no protections.
Right, but it becomes a bit murky. Is to say, when you say that my boss is mad at me or angry at me all the time and you don't know why.
He treats me differently.
Right.
And I don't know why.
Right.
But the facts are, Jack, I'm telling you.
Well, what are they supposed to do about it? So I'm saying, we'll be happy to talk to David about it. I understand. I wouldn't argue against anti-bullying laws. I think one of the reasons it's yet to be enacted, any bullying law, anti-bullying law, anywhere, at least in these United States, probably in other more civilized Western nations. There may be. I haven't looked into this, and this will be an interesting thing to prepare for next week, because I believe there are some anti-bullying laws already in Europe, in various countries in Europe. But I would find it probably difficult. It might be difficult to sort of, you know, both enact and then to sort of process the problems, because who's a bully? What's a bully?
Okay, but that's the environment of our environment, because the employer rules. That's the mentality.
Right.
Therefore, if to pay attention to bully complaints would require a shift, that the employer is not
that's
the
right.
lord, that there are some civility, respect, regard, that those things have a value and a place in the workplace.
Right.
And therefore,
Right. It is a paradigm shift, though, because
the
employee-owned and like an employee-owned, which it all should be, cooperative sort of workplace where everybody has a vested interest in the profits and so forth. Right. In a more civilized world, you would have someone should be able to sort of broker. There would be someone you could go to with human resources and say, here's my case, I'm presenting
it. Listen, I used to work in an office. The number one salesperson in this office was essentially a bully. I now think in retrospect she might have had, like, been bipolar or something else. But at the time, this was in the 80s, she was a bully. She would torture people. If she had it in for you...
Well, she didn't torture people, right? So let's get... She wasn't waterboarding.
No, she wasn't waterboarding, but she would pick on any piece, any presentation you did. She would tell the sales manager, I don't know where Deborah is. She must be out again. Like, inferring that I wasn't doing my job. She would pick on everything, just picked on you.
Okay.
And bitched and complained.
Didn't bring out the best in her employees?
No, she was a co-worker. She was one of the...
Well, how did she get to bully?
I'm telling you the things that she would do.
All right.
And she tortured. We would have 8 o'clock sales meetings every morning. She would take over the meeting from the sales manager, from everybody, and would complain and bitch and pick on and point out. And everybody would leave that meeting with knots in their stomach. And everybody would continually go to the sales manager to complain about her. She's, creating this hostile environment. Why are we keeping her, et cetera?
Why did they keep her?
Because she was the number one salesperson.
Money.
And so, therefore, they were reluctant to rock the boat.
Yeah. Okay.
So even though we, could have easily absorbed it, eventually... But again, there were no protections, and I was at a company who listened, who would speak to her, who would try to reach out to her. But it's an awful situation to be in.
Right. Well, perhaps.
So anyway,
David Yamada next week will give us some tips.
Except
that, again, even with his tips, there are no laws. So let's stick with what we've got.
So I thought it would be really good today, based on the laws that we do have, to answer.
Hey, you know why it'll be really good if Hillary Clinton wins the presidency in 2016?
Well,
you know why?
Why?
Get to pay her 33% less.
Yes, exactly.
Save a lot of money. A lot of money with a female president. I think I heard that at the annual journalist dinner.
Yeah, the
other night.
Corps.
Yeah, the press corps. Someone told that joke. Fell on its, feet. I fell on my face right here with that, but it was very funny then. So, the frequently asked questions.
Right. So, I went through
some
of the last 2 weeks alone, some of the intakes, and these are not rare. These are the frequent type situations that we get. So, the first one, the line I hear at least twice a day, at least, is I was wrongfully terminated.
Okay, wrongfully terminated, right. And most people, will use that phrase to mean that I was illegally fired. It's a term of art.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of colloquial, and it's also used legally as a term of art because there isn't any cause of action called wrongful discharge in most jurisdictions, and certainly not under federal law, not in New York and Connecticut. But it's a convenient way of characterizing the bad, undesirable, illegal quality of your separation. So you call it a wrongful termination. In reality, the wrongful termination has to be discriminatory, right? There isn't any wrongful. A lot of people think if you go home and you say to your loved one, your significant other, I had an awful, awful day today. I lost my job, and I believe I was wrongfully terminated because my boss bullied me and told me to do something. And I said, excuse me, I'm not yet done with the last thing you told me to do. And he said, you know what? You're insubordinate. You're fired. Whether or not that is a wrongful termination case, meaning whether or not you have any cause of action at all, is going to come down to if you don't have a union and you don't have a contract, and you don't, probably, because we're down to...
And even if you do, the unions do not have...
That's right. Well, the unions are not what they used to be. It isn't all great. When you have now 6% of the private workforce unionized, down from about 33% before Reagan took office, you've got a decimated, weakened, substantially weakened labor base. And so most unions have lost all much of their juice. So, but if you have a union, it's still better than none at all. But most of us, then 94% of us, have no contract, have no union. We're at-will employees. We work at the pleasure of our corporate master. Corporate master, and that's what it is. That's the analysis in court. It's master-servant. They're the master, we're the servant. They're the parent, we're the child. They get to say, that's why when they say jump, we're only allowed to really say how high. And the only distinction will be from your wrongful termination, so to speak, or even we talk about, you know, drug testing, which we'll talk about today,
yeah,
too. Are you being singled out either for drug testing or for firing or for being yelled at or for staying late or for whatever reason, because of some reason beyond the inherent unfairness of it or wrongfulness of it, so to speak, or bullying aspect of it? So is it happening to you because you're a woman? Are you saying, is this how, you know, today I had a consult, as you know, with someone who spent the entire time on the phone with me talking about, but talking around the issues, which were that, you know, they sort of treat me differently, and I believe it has to do with, you know, my boss, he stalks me. This is not my boss, it was someone in the workplace who stalks me. He's always in my doorway, he stares, he leers, he asks me out once, he follows me, he's creepy, he's driving me crazy. Meanwhile, she's out on a mental stress leave now from this guy, but she was very reluctant, and I understand why, extremely reluctant, even with me on the phone in a confidential conversation, to call this spade a spade, to say what it was, which was, wait a minute, isn't this because you're a girl? Wasn't this because if you were Jimmy Jones instead of Susan Jones, you would not have... He's hitting on you. Again, it was a back down to, no matter how you frame the issue, this was unwelcome sexual attention, okay? Mm-hmm. He was, you know, and it wasn't all hubba hubba baby, you know, it wasn't like this outrageous...
With no overtly sexual comments, but it, nonetheless...
Well, but asking her out was... But nonetheless, all the rest of it was... That energy,
yes,
acts, statements, behaviors that would not be happening if she weren't a woman and he wasn't trying to play with her, to flirt with her, to go out with her, period. So her entire case, so to speak, and everything that happened to her was sex discrimination, or that's what it's called under federal law, and in New York State, in New York City, it's called gender discrimination, is obviously the same. But sometimes people have a hard time sort of either saying or even thinking it because... They feel perhaps they'll take a step that they can't come back from. They'll have taken one step too far over into the abyss,
yes,
and then they'll be fired, etc. But that's the point. And you have to ask yourself, as you always say to clients, Deborah, where, I mean, if you could put up with it, there are plenty of people who say, hey, I know how, don't worry about me. I can handle myself with so-and-so. I know how to parry and, you know, and joust and to say, go screw yourself, and but I need my job and I'm not going to, you know, skulk away. I say, great, all more power to you.
Right.
Not everyone can do that. In particular, when it is your boss, it takes on a whole different flavor, right? Because you can't say, hey, jump in a lake, bitch.
And also, you can put up with something for just so long. Mm-hmm. And then depending on your temperament or the environment, it eventually wears on you and you get to the point, it's either him or me, or it's either either they fix this or I have to leave.
Right.
So it's the point is to not let it get all the way to that point before you call and get some advice.
Right. Well, before you stand up for yourself and work, again, incrementally, surely, but to not let it get to the point where, as this woman did today, literally out on a disability leave with a shrink. But this is therapist, psychotropic meds, nervous breakdown.
So I just want to keep bringing it back.
Sure.
So this was, the first question is just clarifying that statement about I was wrongfully terminated. There is no law.
There is no law that says you were wrongfully terminated or... What wrongful
or
termination
that your employer
is.
Has to like you or be nice to you or anything. They're allowed to do...
Your employer is allowed to treat you like dirt. Okay, just let's get this out there. Your employer can just generally, every day... You mentioned that line. Obviously, that line I use as well from Princess Bride, but here's how I often will use it. If you work for an employer who every night says to you, good night, get the hell out of here, I hope you have nightmares all night, You clean that coffee maker on the way out. It's starting to look like your work habits. Sloppy. And I hope you have, and I get here early in the morning because I'm most likely going to fire you and I don't want to have to look at you all day, you miserable, stupid SOB.
Right.
That's not illegal, what I just said.
Right.
The reason, maybe it's illegal if I said SOB. I have to be careful about that part of it. But if I'm not calling you anything, a pejorative comment, if I'm not saying, if I'm not saying anything like bitch, nigger, wop, kike, you add in the pejorative, the epithet. If I'm not singling you out because of your race, color, your ethnicity, who you are, and saying that's why I hate you because you're a chick or because you're a person of color or whatever. If I'm not doing that, I'm just a so-called equal opportunity asshole. If I'm screaming all day long at you and I don't make it clear that I'm treating you like this because I'm a misogynistic prick, that's a hostile work environment that's not illegal.
Right.
And you can, of course, if you can't figure, if it turns out that when you speak to your significant others or a lawyer, and the lawyer says to you what we might say to you, which is, you know what, he sounds like a real piece of work, but I don't know that you haven't said any, you haven't said it's because you have MS, or because you're 62, or because you're a transgendered individual, or what, or because you're pregnant, that this is happening to you. It's simply, you work for this, you know, this really nasty human being.
Mm-hmm.
Get used to it, or quit,
right?
Or punch him in the head. But
right.
There's really nothing you're going to have legally, despite what your family tells you when they go, that can't possibly be legal. It is.
It is. Okay, next one. I've been working at this job for 4.5 years. Everything was fine, great evaluations, got bonuses, promotions. Then I got a new manager. And we do not get along. She gave me a lot of negatives in my evaluation for the first time, and then a month later, I was terminated. Other people have been given a chance or a warning, but I was not. This is not right.
Right.
Do I have a case?
Well, I don't know yet, but you will not have a case if the answer to my question when I ask you, why did the new manager single you out? Why did the new manager give you a terrible evaluation? Was it true? Is it not true? Is it a cover-up, which is the legal term for that, is a pretext for the real reason that this person has it in for you? Cause, fill in the blank again, why is it? Because they know you're going to have a baby in 8 more months, because you didn't go out with them, because you're a Muslim. I don't know why. You have to fill in the blank. But if the answer was this, even though I have a wonderful track record, the new manager, and you can say, when you say to the company, even if you went to HR, because it's so inexplicable, you go to human resources and you say, excuse me, how could this be? You know, and Jimmy just came in, look, he just gave me this brutal evaluation. You know, I've been here for 5 years and everything has been wonderful. How could I have gone from a model employee
right. To
a piece of drachma overnight? It's not, and the reason that I'm saying I'm complaining and I'm extremely upset. I've got a mortgage. I've got kids to come in. You know, I love this job. I'm so upset because this isn't happening. This isn't true. This isn't right. He's got an in for me. And HR has to then decide when they're going to ask you, well, why do you think he or she, your new manager, has an in for you? And if you say, I don't know. He's just, I don't know why he does it, but this stuff isn't true. If it's subjective and you can't show that he's making stuff up, but it's subjective, he doesn't like you. This company hired him or her to oversee you.
Mm-hmm.
They usually circle the wagons. There's sort of a hierarchy, obviously. Workplaces are often like paramilitary organizations. There is a food chain. And if they, and often companies feel very secure about maintaining that order. And if you're not stating anything, I mean, it's possible the company will look into it. You'll go to HR and they'll say to this new manager, well, you know, we don't understand it. We love Jack. We love Deborah. How could this be? Ease off or what have you. Maybe they could do it. People are people. Who knows? But most of the time and time again, because it's all business and nobody thinks of it in terms of, you know, let's broker deal and can't we just all get along? When it comes back to looking at your complaint, you're now complaining. They don't like that. And if you're not complaining about anything that gives you some juice, gives you some protection, gives you some power, if you're not, you know, if you don't have hostages or ammunition, meaning that you don't have a law to cite or something to say, hey, this shit's not right, for real reasons that they're going to be concerned about, they're going to tell you if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen, basically. And they get to do that because even after 4 years of wonderfulness, they could turn on a dime. And the ultimate reason for that is you're an employee at will who could be fired at any time for any reason or no freaking reason at all on Christmas Eve after you've worked there for 35 years. No one's going to care.
Right. Okay.
Unfortunately, welcome to the United States of America.
I know. This is a good one. And this I get frequently. My supervisor said I stole merchandise from the back room. I didn't. The whole room is on camera. They could check it and it would prove that I didn't take anything. I never go back there. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back to the job after what they did, but I want this corrected. This will hurt my reputation.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I don't usually hear these, because if you know, this reminds me more of, first of all, the answer to this will be, unless, again, it's discrimination, the fact that they've accused you of stealing something and then fired you, and you say, but I didn't do it, but I have an alibi, but I was in my aunt's house in Rhode Island, I couldn't have done it. They say I stole money. Too bad.
The whole place is camera. They've got the...
Too bad. This isn't a criminal case. If it were a criminal case where the prosecution has to prove you're guilty beyond a reasonable doubt of stealing, the cameras are going to matter. That you were in Rhode Island, they're going to matter that you had an alibi. But they don't really have to show that you actually stole the money. All they have to do is say you stole the money, because that's perfectly legit. And even if it's crazy, even if it's meshuggah, to use the Latin term that we learn in law school, even if it is, you know, reminds me, an EEOC investigator once at a lecture we went to told the story about how a person came in and said to the EEOC investigator, I want to file a claim of discrimination. And the investigator took out the pen, was writing it down, and said, tell me what happened. You ready for this? They fired me, my boss said. They fired me because he said he dreamt last night, my boss. Check this out. He dreamt that I was the second gunman on the grassy knoll. Ah, I shot John F. Kennedy, he said, in Dallas in 1963. And the investigator's staring at him. And he said, and your point is? And the guy said, well, you know what my point is? 1963, I wasn't even born yet, or I was 5 years old, or whatever it is. I didn't obviously kill John F. Kennedy. Isn't that freaking crazy? Yeah, and your point is what? It can be crazy. There was no claim. You'd have to say that they were making up that you shot John F. Kennedy to cover up. The real reason they're firing you is because you're black, you're Muslim, you didn't have sex with your boss, you're pregnant, you're gay, you just came out, whatever. Mm-hmm. You're, you know, whatever it is, it has to be the pretext for something actually illegal. It's absolutely fine to fire someone for crazy reasons. You just can't fire them for illegal discriminatory reasons.
Right.
So I could be, you know, I could say that and say, hey, I had that dream. I believed that this person shot my... I'm allowed to fire her because I thought she killed John F. Kennedy or my family member in the 13th century. Am I insane? Perhaps. Do you have a case against me? Absolutely not, unless there's an underlying real reason. So back to this money situation, if you happen to be unfortunate enough to work for a company that fires you because they think you stole money over the weekend from a safe that you didn't steal from, and you would have cameras to prove that you didn't do it, it's not going to do you a whit of good. I mean, it could come into play in a discrimination case if you have one. So if you're saying they say I stole the money because
but
I'm...
It's really because of my religion,
right.
And they're trying to get rid of me,
exactly.
And they used it as the excuse.
Well, fill in the blank with anything. I recently stood up for Jane, who was being sexually harassed, and now is a witness. They have an ulterior motive to get rid of me, and they're just using this. And the ulterior motive is either discriminatory under federal or state or city law in your jurisdiction, or retaliatory for an original protected complaint.
You know, and it just made me think of an intake I did Friday, I think it was, actually. You know, we get a lot of calls from people who drive buses, either for, you know, elderly back and forth between, you know, facilities and shopping or school kids. And this one last week, she was terminated because they said she shoved a kid or she pushed a kid or she touched a kid in a not an inappropriate but an unacceptable way. And she said the kid was crossing the white line And I kept saying, get in your seat, get back into your seat. And I put my arm up and, you know, the kid bashed, you know, rammed her arm and she pushed back. And the kid, I guess, fell down. And she got terminated for it. And yeah. And her point was, I've paid for this license to drive this bus. How am I going to get another job? I didn't do it. How do you defend against something like
well,
that?
But you don't. But the problem is, and you don't, because you didn't need the kid to complain to his parents and the parents to scream to the school and the school to then say, you know what, we're firing you because whatever you got in the crosshairs of this, you've got it. We have a screaming family. You got a kid who fell on his ass. He's sore. He says you pushed him. You know what? Sorry, because you are going to be the scapegoat on this. What are we're firing you. You should have, you know, maybe it could have happened to anyone, but it happened to you, and we're firing you. And what's your, what is the claim? Now, if the claim is, again, 10 other people have had similar situations in the last couple of years, and they weren't fired, and they're men, or they're white, or they're black, or they're East Asian, whatever.
Right.
And I wasn't. That's the claim. Is
right.
there, or did it happen to happen? Did this happen when they fired you over some bogus thing about a kid falling when you were actually just trying to protect the kid? Did it happen because just, what, 2 weeks ago you told them you're with child? I mean,
right.
it's all about that. Do you have anything to say that this is really the real reason they're doing it is because they realize, you know what, I'm not going to be driving this bus when I'm out on maternity leave for 3 months, so they had a convenient way of getting rid of me now for this BS.
Right, exactly.
But other than that, when people say, you know what, this isn't fair. You know, if I had a jury of my peers here or my whole family at Thanksgiving said, this isn't fair, this isn't right, and you say, I know it's not fair. Who said anything's fair and right? Right now in our culture.
And that is what is so sad. This really, and I believed this woman. I you know, sometimes you know you're not getting the whole story, but truly, she is shit out of luck. Okay, out of the blue, my manager said it's not working out, and I was terminated. No warning, it's not right.
Yeah, and your point is...
Well,
right.
Just, that's
yeah,
typical...
I mean, out of the blue, there is no need. If you work for a company that has a policy...
They didn't give me any warning,
Well,
notice.
They don't have to give you any warning, any notice.
Right.
It's any time, any reason, or no reason at all. You would be fired again. Here's how I fire you. Deborah, thanks for working with us since 1969. We're letting you go. What, is this a joke? I really wish it were. I'm sorry. We're letting you go. In fact, you'll just take a minute. If you have any questions, ask me now, but... Leroy, you know, Leroy, the security guard, he's standing outside. Take some time, and I know you're upset, so take a few minutes here now. I'll have Veronica bring in some tissues. But Leroy's going to escort you out. I mean, we can't have you. We're letting you go. We can't have you stop at your computer. You left your personal effects there. We'll box them up. Or you'll walk there with Leroy, but you're not signing back onto your computer. And please stop. You may want to stop crying because you're going to be walking past everyone who's going to think that you're being like a perp walk out the door.
Yeah.
It's really embarrassing, but that's how we do things. That's how we all roll circa 2014, because we're not going to let you go back and get on our server now that we let you go. God knows what you'll do. So, yeah, you're out of here. Do we have to explain ourselves? No.
No.
You've been here for 45 years, and by the way, now that you're crying and asking and why, and we're saying, you know what, we're not at liberty to say to you, we're sorry, you're going to get a package in the mail, your COBRA rights, maybe we'll offer you a few weeks' pay, you'll think about whether you're going to sign
most
a release.
Most don't.
You're gone. I mean, this is, you know, look what's going on. Look at our actual effective true unemployment rate of double digits. And we have a lot of suffering in this country. And people, you know, in terms of workers' rights that are almost non-existent, we will first get to whether or not we'll ever have or soon have a living wage now that Republicans have maybe jumped on. Maybe we'll actually have a $10.10 wage anytime soon. But the fact of the matter is there's six people that are vying for your position,
mm-hmm.
in all likelihood. And
they'll,
you know,
work for less.
They'll work for less. It's a seller's market, and clearly. So, you know, it's kind of a sad, you know, remember back in, you remember, we're old enough to remember, I think it was in the 70s, the hit song, you know, Take This Job and Shove It.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a popular song that was like, you know, take this job, and people were, it was like, it would never be a hit today, because you're not going to say, take this job and shove it, when you're going to just basically get on the bread lines, which don't exist either, or you'll be, you know, run out of unemployment in 6 months, which doesn't pay your bills either. So, it's an extremely difficult situation that means that when your boss says to you, you're fired. What was that last question?
Out of the blue.
Out of the blue. Yeah, out of the
it's
blue.
Not working out.
Out of the blue is actually the preferred way to fire people from an HR point of view, because you don't want to give them. First of all, if you happen to be, as we said earlier, one of the few who have a union, the collective bargaining agreement, which is the union contract, will likely have in it progressive discipline, so-called, meaning that the employer has to go through a certain number of hoops, jump through some hoops, before it can actually fire you, because that's what the collective bargaining agreement, that's what the power of being able to unionize gives you. So we, the workers, say, I'll tell you what, before you get to fire me out of the blue and make it so I can't pay my bills or send my kids to school or buy, you know, food for my family without food stamps, you're going to first have to give me one verbal warning, two verbal warnings, three written warnings, and a partridge in a pear tree, whatever it is. Before we're done, I'm going to have a chance to have my shop steward fight for me, and we're going to have a bit of a ball game here. In the private sector, just generally, with no, you know, just that's, you don't want to give people a heads up, generally. The idea sometimes of saying to an employee, you're on a warning, you're on a second warning, a final warning, a performance improvement plan, is for the employer. It's not for you. It's
right.
Not so that you'll get better and that you could rise to the occasion. They don't want you to rise to the occasion. When you get a probationary memo, it doesn't bring out the best in you. It makes you all, you know, makes you all bummed out and disempowered, and it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy that it just kind of becomes you're demoralized and you start doing worse.
Right.
They do it to leave a paper trail so that when after your second warning or the performance improvement plan, when they fire you and then you say, wait a minute, you fired me because I'm 43 or because I'm a native, I'm 1/16th Native American, they'll say, well, you know, that may be all well and good, but no, we fired you because you suck lemons and we've told you this 5 times and you have no case then.
Right. Oh, and I just thought of, while you were talking, I should have written it down. I thought of another...
I'm having a senior moment again.
Yes, I have them frequently.
Well, this is why you need a pen. Here,
okay.
A
all right, I'll write it down next time. But it was one of those other lines that people say all the time. Okay, here's the next one. And this also was something, a call last week, too. This woman used to work in HR, so she saw what... she saw payroll.
Yeah.
So I'm a female who found out my male peers are making considerably more than I am. What do I do?
Well, listen, you know, gender pay disparity. You're a female, you're making less. I mean, this is like climate change. There are deniers still, including Rubio. Marco Rubio will say just yesterday, nah, it can't be, it's not man-made. Everybody with a brain, every scientist knows, of course, climate change is man-made, and we're almost at a dire, we're at a dire place in climate change now, heading toward what, the 6th or the 7th extinction that's coming up real soon. My point is that people will deny... What was that, the specific on that question?
My male
will say that
are making more.
Men, you know, in certain environments, women do make as much as, or sometimes occasionally more than men. But overall, from factory workers that are undocumented to physicians, lawyers, and architects, women make less than 80 cents on the dollar to what men make. So what you just found out at work, you just finally, and it was sort of shocking to see it, you just corroborated, that's what Lilly Ledbetter found out, you
right.
corroborated that, yes, they're screwing you. Yes, they are. Well, then you have to make a formal complaint. It's perfect that you found that. You will make a formal complaint to the powers that be, human resources and management, but some formal way, saying that I believe, because of who I am as a woman, you don't have to complicate this, I'm being paid less than I'm worth because comparably situated men, comparator men, are doing same comparable work as me. Here's the job. There's no difference in it now. You have to make sure, and I'm assuming from your question, that it presupposes that he's not more experienced, he doesn't have more seniority, he doesn't have a master's degree to her bachelor's degree, because that gives them an out to say, hey, you're barking up the wrong tree, sister.
Right.
But when all of the things are equal, you've got a claim. That's the claim. So when you put the claim in writing, they have to respond to it. They could respond to it and tell you to go suck eggs, But, you know, that might be worth pursuing. That's when you might hire a lawyer. You might file with the EEOC. You might say, you know what, I don't really want to make $1 million less than I would have been making for my family here if I were a boy. And so I'm going to stand up for myself. You know, sometimes you may decide, hey, if I'm making $100,000 a year in a job that I otherwise love in a difficult environment, and I found out that so-and-so's making $120 and he's a boy, maybe you won't be so strident. Maybe you won't suddenly send a please be advised letter. Maybe you won't suddenly just go hire a lawyer. And I'm the first to say don't do that. You don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Maybe you can work with the company. You want to give up $100,000 a year job? No. And for my daughter, I would say do this eloquently and elegantly. You know, just raise the issue. Raise the issue in a way that doesn't make them immediately want to fire you because they see you as a time bomb that's going to go off 2 seconds later when you hire a lawyer and you go to federal court. This is your job. It's important to you.
Right.
But what you should do is, if you want to do anything, if it bothers you enough that you're losing sleep over realizing now that because of your DNA, because you're a woman, I mean, I never knew, I'm still not sure why that is devalued enough. Some people can live with that, but if you look at it and you say, you know, screw that shit, I know what I do in this place, I know what value I bring to the table, as you sometimes say about, or often say about, simply time and that balance between how long can you and will you choose to go on earning less than the schmuck next to you who
right.
brings no more value to this organization than you do. Will you do that until, you know, wears on you, till your hair falls out? Will you do that? It seems to me that it might make sense if you, because you know what? You're not going to keep giving 122% to the job when you feel that resentment of, you know, and I don't really know if I had a penis, I'd be making 20% more. I don't think so. And you'd want to put that in writing. By putting it in writing and complaining, they're going to have to respond to it. Will they love you a little less as a result of that complaint? Probably. So should you think about it before you make that complaint? Definitely.
Right. So just to recap briefly, because we did go over this a little bit last week, but when you feel your civil rights have been violated, you first put it in writing.
Well, there is no, it's not so much that you first put it in writing, because you could, don't have to first put it in writing. You could also complain even
verbally,
like a human being, and to somebody. You don't have to, like, say, oh, I'm sending this officious, like, FedEx-y letter. And you could be a human being and do what you want. The idea, though, is to not simply let too much time go by before you memorialize it. Have a paper trail. Everybody knows
right.
the paper trail. If you're in a state, as I mentioned before, where you could have an audio trail by tape recording the conversation like you can in New York secretly, you could do that too. It's powerful. But at some point, if you could sit down with, like, a human being, with your manager and say, you know, I just found out I'm making less money than Bob for doing the same job. It's really bothering me. You know, I have 3 kids. I'm a sole support. It's not right. You have that conversation. Let them try to, but within a day or two, I would probably follow up with an email,
mm-hmm.
you know, something that you could just, it's not, you know, as you know, we sat and discussed the fact that I noticed that I'm being paid, you know, 20% less than so-and-so who has the exact same job title as me.
She was being paid 60% less.
Okay, and there really didn't seem to be any other basis?
And she also did comparables in the area. Whatever her title was, purchasing person or something. And she found out that they were paid $20,000 more than she was. So she didn't even go for the six-figure. She just went for, I want to go from 40 to 60. I want to be paid like everybody else. And he said, I can't afford that. I'll give you $1 an hour more.
You know, what is fascinating, and this is, it's fascinating, it's outrageous, and it's illegal, and we see it all the time, is still the notion that if you're a woman, and depending upon, of course, the organization and how they see you, but just as a woman, you're often seen still as, you don't really need as much. I mean, the way that you don't need as much as, and it wasn't too long ago that they would actually put this in writing. I mean, I haven't seen this in a few years, but the idea that, wait a minute, you know, come on. You're talking about
wage.
Bill. Yeah, you're talking about, for instance, Bill. You compared yourself to Bill, who has a house in Scarsdale.
And kids.
And he has a stay-at-home wife. Come on, the guy's got a mortgage. You don't know, and he's got a disabled mother who lives with him.
You're a single woman
with a fucking cat. That's it. You got to take care. You don't even feed the cat organic. You don't need all of this stuff. You don't. And plus, you'll end up, you're a good-looking young woman. You know what's going to happen. You're going to get married off to an investment banker anyway. So, come on, give us a break. You want to make it, but you know, have, you know, wake up and smell the coffee. Get a little reality. I mean, listen, this is changing, but only very slowly and sort of under protest because it still isn't changing in terms of the statistics. I think, obviously, our country, we're changing. We're changing slowly, although there's backlash, there's waves of backlash. But just like sexual orientation and gay rights, there's a certain... That arc of justice
right.
is long but bends towards, or the arc of history bends towards justice. There is an issue of what would we be talking about? You wouldn't be here talking about this, you know, how 50 years ago or 80 years ago before you could vote. So, you know, we certainly have made some significant strides for, again, this inexplicable notion that half of our species of Homo sapien, of human being, is... disempowered and disenfranchised and worth less than the other half for, you know, reasons that might be attributable to organized religion or whatever we've done for millennia of killing
or
that feminine principle.
Testosterone has ruled for so long. Wasn't it, and I'm not positive of the facts, but wasn't it just over the weekend that the women in the Senate, a bipartisan, all 20 women in the Senate, with regard to the 200 kidnapped girls,
mm-hmm.
you know, what should the U.S. be doing? You know, as a collective, the United States was doing nothing, had its thumb up its butt, couldn't figure out, couldn't make a decision. These women got together and came up with a solution and stood up and said, here's the answer, boys.
Mm-hmm.
So the more women who come into power, the better
of course.
We will balance things off. But I just want to stay on
right.
focus here. So if you feel your civil rights are being violated, because that is the only place or the only opportunity you have for protection to go back to your employer, is to first try and see if you can speak like a person, to the person, to HR, to whomever appropriate, and then be mindful of creating a paper trail
record.
Of
right.
the complaint
right.
specifically,
right.
and that they received it,
right.
and, you know, follow-up steps. And then you have to wait and see how they respond. Do they investigate?
Right.
Do they follow up with you?
Exactly. I mean, listen, there's a certain amount of it is common sense. It's sort of if you're in a relationship with a person and a significant other and things aren't going well, do you want to sit down with that person and suddenly start, you know, screaming and saying we need either counseling or you do this for me or I'm going to fucking hate you.
Well,
it's
going right to divorce a counseling.
Well,
or
going
first.
From DEFCON like 0 to 6. So
yeah.
What's, you know, to use the defense condition, you know, from like you have to be old enough probably to know war games or to whatever other people that listen to this whole when we were doing this with Orange and the Gold and the, you know, when we were our security defense condition, you know, 5 being we're totally at peace and everything is relaxed. Defense condition 1 is war. And as it escalates up, scramble the F-2s, we're on yellow alert, we're on red
right.
alert, it goes up. You don't want to be going from like 0 to 1 and suddenly it like where I'm going to war with my employer. You want to just try first, but who knows? They might say to you, what about if HR said to you, you know what? Thanks for bringing this to our attention. For you, and especially now that we're kind of busted and you told us, okay, we'll take another advisement. 2 weeks later, you get a raise. This is you. You're not. This isn't a Rosa Parks moment. It doesn't have to be you're the Norma Ray of your workplace and you have to stand up for everybody and be
right.
a martyr.
Right.
You wanted to get your... So maybe, you know, again... Give them the chance. You always have to give your company the
chance.
Well,
and also by law, aren't they allowed the opportunity to
investigate?
That's
the point. You have to give your company the
chance. So it's not like you're giving them the chance. They're entitled to the chance.
Even better. Very good point. They're entitled to the opportunity to fix it. Because if you – that's a great point, Deborah, because if you suddenly went and sued them – their answer would be, that's what people say, do I have a case? Well, no, not yet. You're still working.
You haven't
told anybody. You didn't even tell them. You didn't even respond yet. Well, what about if they said, wait a minute, we didn't even know that she was saying that. We didn't even notice it ourselves. It might be BS, but you have to give them the chance. And here you would have brought a lawsuit when they were prepared to fix it.
Right.
And then you're kind of toast because you're going to have to leave there.
Right.
So it's not about, you know, you have to keep, you know, cool your jets and stay frosty in the workplace and not throw out babies with the bathwater. You know, and just do it very rationally and consider what you're seeking.
So two more questions. I definitely want to fit in. I'm just looking at the time. Oh, shoot. Okay, so focus here, Jack, because you're going to have to talk.
Focusing now.
You know, focus right on the questions.
Very focused.
Okay, because you have 5 minutes.
Well, I think we have 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know, but okay. I have two questions.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, the first one, you can pick which one you want to do first. One is, I've been a member of a New York City union.
Wait a minute. Hold on a sec. I think I lost my... Okay, I'll hear you. Thanks. Go.
Okay. I'm a member of a New York City union.
Yes.
I've been working at the same job for 12 years.
Yes.
6 years ago, I studied and took the test to level up my rating to Secretary 1.
Right.
I've been asking for a promotion to the manager, to the next level, because I'm already doing that job. Because I've been here for 12 years, I already do that job, but you're keeping me at this lower level. But what's happening is the new manager is hiring all his Caucasian friends. I am African American. What can I do? That's the first question, because you're within, you know, it's within the unions, and it's a race question. And the other is, what are the laws with regard to drug testing on the job?
Okay, good question. I mean, those are separate questions.
Two questions. You have 10 minutes.
First of all, regarding the race discrimination issue, which is no different than an age discrimination, sex discrimination, pregnancy discrimination, or any other kind of discrimination. And the union part is a little bit of a distraction, only because what the union does, and the whole, I'm in New York City and I'm in the union, if you work in New York City and you have a strong union, and the couple that are still left, 1199, some of our big, powerful, fat cat unions that are still the few that exist, you're going to use the union to support you, because that's
union's
what...
union's not doing anything.
Well, no, that's not true. The union...
Well, I'm telling you, this is what they're calling me.
Well, first of all, you're telling me that as part of the union isn't doing anything. Okay, so assuming they've gone to the union, and they've said to the union, hey, help me.
And the union keeps saying, you just have to wait for the positions to open.
Okay.
And he was saying...
Okay. All right, and assuming they're not violating the collective bargaining agreement, which they probably are, by regardless of what the union said, by hiring all these outside white people to, you know, to fill the shoes that would be yours, it's the same thing then as if you didn't have a union. The only difference is going to be now you have a management. Well, first of all, if you work for the city, and if you, whether you work for New York City or if you work for the city of St. Paul, Minnesota, or you work for the city of Key West, Florida, if you work for a municipality, in a lot of ways it makes it even that much more challenging, because they care even less in a lot of ways. You don't have, they're not spending money on attorney's fees. They're not where they have their own attorneys built in. They don't really care about publicity generally. And it's glacial pace. It'll take forever. You can't get punitive damages against the municipality. So it just makes it, you know, when you're dealing with a private sector employer, they sometimes care more just because everything is so expensive. Their lawyers are charging $800 an hour. New York City is like, you know, we'll see in 10 years in court. So do what you have to do. But it's still going to come down to, you still have to complain to Human Resources in New York City, the EEO office, somebody up the food chain, and say, hey, which part of it that you're not seeing that I'm seeing? I'm a person of color. I've been here for 20 years. I've applied for these jobs. Instead, you're giving it to all these non-people of color. That's racism. It's discrimination. What's up with that? I'm going to file a claim with the EEOC. This is illegal. And, you know, at some point, you're going to have to decide, do you wait for it, as the union told you, and your spouse might tell you, and your kids might tell you, they're going to say, Dad, you know, it's not so bad already. You've got a great, you know, people sometimes, I'm not saying you shouldn't stand up and fight for your right to be equal. That's one of our mantras. But sometimes you have to look at, you know, you make decisions in the shadow of the realities, the alternatives. If the alternatives are what? Quit and get a job making $11 an hour when you've had this union job making $40 an hour. Yes, you could get the $50 an hour raise. And if you're a person of color and you're being discriminated against, fight for it. But do it smartly. And the way that you're still doing it is incrementally. So it's the same thing. The union's doing nothing for you. You have to complain to management in a proper way that you can prove that you're complaining. Step by step. The first complaint, without any hysteria, just let them know. Put them on notice. Without emotion. They'll meet with you. They have to. Then you follow up. Thanks for meeting with me. I appreciate your time. I indicated to you over this hour-long meeting that Jimmy, John, and Bubba got my job, and it should have been me, and they're white, and I'm black, and I do feel that it's discriminatory. And you indicated to me you'll look into it, and you'll get back to me in 2 weeks, and you wait the 2 weeks and see what they say. And then you follow up with another email. You're keeping it tight and right and their feet to the fire. This way, if it doesn't happen and you're not, they keep failing to promote you, where they fire you, you've got a record of this civil right. You know, you keep calling it civil rights complaints, and I'm saying, what is a civil rights complaint? A civil rights complaint is civil rights complaints, as opposed to criminal complaints. They're in the civil arena, and they're the right to be treated fairly and equally, despite your race, color, ethnicity, national origin, age, disability, alienage, fill in the blank with a number of protected statuses. In terms of the second question, which is really easier, pretty much they can drug test you. We're in this place right now in our culture where if you work for a private employer and they want to drug test you, game on, bring it.
So at any time?
Any time.
They could test you every day?
Well,
I mean, what is?
Well, they could test you every day if the company policy is take their urine as they walk into the workplace and take everybody's. And we're going to pay for the test. You see, they often make employees pay for the test. And then it's like people like Rick Scott in Florida, who used to have his own testing company. That's why they're doing it. They're making money. They're not testing the banksters to see whether or not these guys are on drugs before they pull down $2 billion a year. They're not. But they're going to they're testing people who are getting unemployment benefits because they're trying to save pennies on working. You know, it's just all obviously classism and craziness. But the bottom line is, at least in the private sector, they could test you at will. They just can't test you discriminatorily. So if they're testing you because you're black and they think every day let's test the black people, that's obviously illegal. They want to test everybody every day and pay for it, they get to do that. There are certain states and certain employers, especially public employers, where they need to have reasonable suspicion. So they'll have to be able to actually say, you know what, if out of the blue we're saying, pee in this cup, it's because you've been behaving erratically, or we just think that there was something about the way you're behaving. It's not random, but where we have a reasonable cause. It isn't a reasonable suspicion. Thank you. It is not a very high burden. So for the most part, everybody is like, you know, SOL on that, you know. Mm-hmm. If you happen to be, and that's why a lot of people will, they're testing the Partnership for Drug-Free America drugs, right? They're testing for marijuana, cocaine, and heroin, typically. They're not testing that you had a drink the night before. They're not testing that you're on 17 different kinds of psychotropic meds.
Well, oftentimes it's because someone may have a criminal record.
Well,
what about
that's a
criminal
issue.
Record? Is that can well, that be held against you?
Yes, but also it's a different issue. Maybe we'll deal with that next week
All
because
right.
that's a different issue. If you have a, and by the way, that's not a reason. That's discrimination. You can't say, "Oh, we're hiring you because you wrote in your application you were once accused of a crime, let's say, or you have a criminal record. We'll still hire you, but pee in this cup because it was a drug case 15 years ago." That's clearly discrimination based on a prior arrest or a prior conviction that is probably discriminatory. But again, a separate issue. The bottom line is, most of the time, and that's why it is, young people are saying, yeah, they're testing me. You know, marijuana stays in your blood apparently a long time. You're not high when they test you, but they're still going to say you use. What that has to do with your ability to perform the essential functions of your job, I understand. If you're an airline pilot or you drive an Amtrak, that may be different standards. I understand that. But for the most part, they're testing everybody, and it's a huge, way too big a net. And it catches in at all the tuna and all the innocent people, too, along with the people who shouldn't be doing the job. So it's really terrible. I hear our music. So this is Jack Tuckner and Deborah Orell saying until next week, we're signing out. Have a strong and powerful week.